Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Baltimore has a new police chief this week. His name is Daryl D'Souza, and he was promoted to the position last Friday after Baltimore's mayor, Catherine Pugh, fired the previous police commissioner, Kevin Davis. Here's Mayor Pugh.
I want you to know that I worked side by side with Commissioner Davis, hardworking, but I'm impatient. We need violence reduction. We need the numbers to go down faster than they are.
Baltimore is grappling with a record number of killings, 343 last year, the highest rate of the country's largest cities. Baltimore City Councilman Brandon Scott joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And you've said it was a good decision to promote Daryl D'Souza to be commissioner. Why?
I think that, well, it's no secret that I've worked with this commissioner since he was a lieutenant and then a deputy commander in my district. And it's also no secret that I suggested to the previous mayor and previous administration after they fired then Police Commissioner Batts that Daryl D'Souza should have become the police commissioner. They chose to go with Kevin Davis, who came to Baltimore and who did work hard and did some great things, in particular working us through a consent decree. But I think that Daryl D'Souza is the right police commissioner for Baltimore, where we are in Baltimore in its history. It is very important that he came up here. He lives in the city. It's also critically important that he's an African-American man, knowing so he understands what's going on. He has a young son, a young daughter who lives the life of young black people in Baltimore and who are at the same risk as the other young people in Baltimore. So he understands as a father, as a black man himself, but as a police officer, he knows everything about this department. So he knows what's wrong with BPD, what's right with BPD, and how BPD can start to rebuild and regain the trust of the citizens of Baltimore and become a safer city.
Well, what was wrong with Commissioner Davis, in your view?
I think that where Commissioner Davis fell short was on the crime fight and what we're expecting from this commissioner. And let me be clear again, I've been on the record. Folks have to understand that the Baltimore Police Department itself will not reduce crime for years on end in Baltimore. We have to have a holistic, comprehensive public health approach to attack the disease of gun violence.
And I want to get to some of your ideas about that. But first, let me just ask you, do you think that all of this turnover for the police commissioner is part of the problem? This is going to be the third time in 5 years that the city has named a new commissioner.
Yeah, I think that it depends. I think that if we just go back when Commissioner Batts was hired back then, I was on record as saying that, listen, we're coming off of 2011, which was Baltimore's lowest years of violent crime ever. And those of us inside City Hall knew that the deputy commissioner at the time, Tony Barksdale, was the driving force in that crime plan. So my suggestion was to hire him as the police commissioner. They decided to go outside with Commissioner Batts, which proved to be a big mistake for the city of Baltimore. Again, they went outside with Commissioner Davis. The last time Baltimore City hired a police commissioner from within was Fred Bielfeld, and under Fred Bielfeld, with Tony Barksdale leading the helm as the deputy of operations and focusing in on the crime-fighting plan, Baltimore saw crime and violent crime drop every single year.
So what's going on now in Baltimore? Why have there been such high numbers of murders in the city for the last few years?
Well, I think it's important to understand that we had a flashbang point in 2015 with the Freddie Gray unrest, but folks have to understand that things were bubbling up even before then. Once that stuff starts to grow, once you have drug shops and drug corners that have been closed down for 5-10 years reopen, you're going to have that. You're going to have those beefs. You're going to have things going back and forth. You add on top of that, you have an event like Freddie Gray, and you have this unrest, and you have things that folks were just simply not prepared for. It's hard to come back from that.
How much do you think that the increase actually had to do with Freddie Gray?
I think that it's partially to do with it. I think that there were so many factors already leading up to that. Folks forget that before Freddie Gray, violent crime was already up. Freddie Gray just blew that up to epic proportions. And then I would also like to say that the year following, so 2015 was a very bad year. 2016, they saw a decline. And then last year, we saw an increase again. So that's my point about this commissioner being right for this time in Baltimore. And we have to ensure and work to make sure that he's successful, but that everybody's at the table from every city agency, every business leader in Baltimore to make sure that the city's a safer place, because we cannot continue to think that we're going to solve the disease of gun violence in Baltimore simply through the lens of policing.
You mentioned the consent decree. Last year, President Obama's Justice Department entered into a consent decree with Baltimore. This is a legally binding agreement that forced the department to take steps to stop targeting minorities. The Trump administration has criticized consent decrees. Here's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who believes that they can increase violence. He spoke last spring on the conservative Howie Carr show.
So every place these decrees, and as you've mentioned, some of these investigations have gone forward, we've seen too often big crime increases. I mean, big crime increases, murder and doubling and things of that nature.
Has Baltimore's consent decree led to increased crime, do you think? Or what do you think of what Jeff Sessions is saying there?
No. Well, we all know that Jeff Sessions is not even, in my opinion, qualified to be the Attorney General of the United States. We know that his own Senate colleagues denied him to be a judge because he was too racist, right? So we understand when Jeff Sessions speaks about investigating police, he simply believes that black people in inner cities should be over police and their rights should be violated. But also, I think the data says the opposite of what he's saying. If you look at the places where consent decrees have happened, all of them have seen a decrease in violent crime. And I think that folks understand here, listen, I hear from police officers all the time who say that, listen, I think that this is going to be a good thing for us because there were some things that we were doing wrong, but also there are things that we need that we don't have, right? That better technology so that we can police in a 21st century way, better understanding with the community, ways to build relationships with young people. So I think that in its entirety, the entire city of Baltimore, and we are unique. Remember, every single elected official in Baltimore City asked for this consent decree. This wasn't a case where the feds were coming into the town like they had done in so many other places. Mm-hmm. So what I've always said is that, listen, you're not going to hear me saying that I don't want any policing and we don't need to have police aggressively going after people that are committing violent crimes. But what we cannot go back to is the days of zero tolerance when basically, you know, we were just arresting people. And this is what I hear from police officers, too. We're just arresting people for the sake of arresting drug abusers and them just being on the hamster wheel. They want to be out there policing and having an impact, not just out there arresting people for the sake of arresting.
Well, what do you think about, I mean, Jeff Sessions has pointed to New York City and said, look, they've got a much lower crime rate than right. A city like Baltimore. Do you think there are lessons to be learned from a place like New York for Baltimore?
So as a Baltimorean who grew up in the 90s and 2000s, what I would say is that folks have this now hindsight view of New York. They forget that, one, how many instances of lawsuits and NAACP and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and folks screaming about how New York was treating its black and brown people. But also, I think that folks leave out a big thing when they talk about New York. They forget that New York has been extremely gentrified and poor people have been pushed out of New York. So naturally, you're going to have that. I think that we tried that here in Baltimore. We brought police commissioners from New York to Baltimore to implement zero tolerance and stop and frisk. And what happened for us is that when we had that, crime actually went up, not down. So I think that the Attorney General is being short-sighted and not thinking and considering all the factors that happen in New York City. Because as some of my New Yorkers say, and the same thing for Washington, D.C., some of my near and dear friends who are Washington, D.C., born and bred, said it's not the same anymore. And they say it used to be Chocolate City, and now they call it Latte City. So we have to understand the changes that have happened in those places as well, which we're not saying that that's a bad thing, but we also have to consider the people that were in those cities, in those neighborhoods like Harlem and Brooklyn and in D.C. and Southeast D.C. and Northeast D.C. for so many years who are no longer there.
What about the trust issue? There's a trial that kicked off this week involving a corruption scandal at the Baltimore Police Department. Two officers accused of extortion, falsifying evidence, and reselling drugs that they confiscated. How hard is it going to be for the people of Baltimore to start trusting the police?
Well, I think they have to rebuild and earn that trust, and I think that's why the consent decree is important, and I think that's also why the hiring of this new commissioner is important, because, listen, these things have gone on for far too long in this department, and there had to have been people at high levels of the department who were allowing it to go on. And I think that having these cases and these incidents, even from incidents on body camera, ultimately will be great for the city of Baltimore, because we need to root out those people and let folks know, make examples of them, that will not be tolerated anymore. Those days are gone, and the public trust will come back from us recognizing these faults, but then rebuilding and bringing in folks who truly want to work for the community. Their officers don't want to work with individuals like those that are being prosecuted by the federal government, because they can't trust them. They can't watch their back. They don't know if they're going to be on their side or on the side of the criminal. So people have to understand that as well, and that's how we're going to have to rebuild that trust.
That's Baltimore City Councilman Brandon Scott. Councilman Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.